Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We spoke to a Guinness World Record holder with American Sports Links, didn't
Oh,
we?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You'll hear from him. We also chatted to a goal-scoring keeper. We all love them.
Yeah, good goal.
Up in Scottish League 2. And we had a bit of a chat about various things. You got involved in some areas.
Yeah.
Around Russia's World Cup team and a Bristol City goalkeeping coach. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I very much enjoyed last night's game, even though it was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, well, it was terrible, wasn't it?
Well, it was a terrible game all round. Mm. I was on a Schadenfreude winner. I wanted them both to lose.
Right, okay.
So, but Arsenal had the quality and they deserved to win a very strange game. I mean, 60 minutes, West Ham were on top without being particularly good.
Yeah.
Arsenal were embarrassing. They were so poor, weren't they? I love Ozil. They're so funny. He 3-1 up, he's suddenly sprinting.
Yeah.
Oh, go away, really. You're right. It's the last player you'd ever want in your team would be him.
Yeah.
I know he's got skills and all that, and he's won a World Cup, and he can show that to me and say, well, that's what I've got, but not for me.
The if it was confidence that's been the issue, that could be a bit of a turning point, as we'll discover when they play City at the weekend, but confidence was a problem. That's why they were so flat. They got good players, they just weren't playing with any confidence.
No,
so suddenly
that
winning 3-1 and Pepe scoring and getting the assist.
Yeah, nice goal from Pepe.
Yeah, it was.
I thought he played well, actually. They tried
ideally
to kick him
show
off
him inside. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it?
Well, the game changed on Cresswell, really, going off. I mean, there were two left-backs got injured last night, and Tierney was a shame because you've hardly seen him, and I know from my Celtic friends they really rate him, but Kolasinac set up the goal, whereas Matsuaku basically showed Pepe inside. Do come this way,
yeah,
Mr. Pepe.
You. Yeah.
Please put the ball in the net. It was ridiculous.
But, so it would be a very interesting game now, the one against City, because they'll have a little bit more swagger about them, you would think.
Yeah.
At home,
that defense,
you can't see it. I mean, City are a bit rocky at the moment as well. They've got more injuries.
They'll raise their game. Of course they will against City, but I just think
I suddenly quite fancy him against City, which I wouldn't have done after 59 minutes last night.
City had a bit of a setback on Saturday. They've been playing a very, very good in-form United team. I mean, City took Burnley apart about 3 days earlier, didn't they? So I think we'll wait and see.
Fool's panel on Friday.
Absolutely.
Martial will be going 4-4 to try and claw back the points.
It was interesting that Freddie Ljungberg left out Luiz and Guendouzi. He's obviously a bit jealous of the old hair.
That's probably what it was,
Whereas Unai Emery had a thing. But I was saying to
Did you see the West Ham PA announcer got the wrong player? I think it was when Guendouzi came on, he said, here comes David Luiz.
Yeah.
Went on the hair, not on the number.
But it's, what was I about to say? I was speaking to Robbie about something we were talking about.
It was only about 30 seconds ago.
No, because I was about to make the point and I can't even remember now.
Okay.
You made another point. But never mind.
Oh, I do apologise.
No, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
It'll come back to you. It was Arsenal related, was it?
It was, yeah. Exactly. So, that's it from last night, really. I mean, except that Mike Dean's first game since 2005. So his first at London Stadium. That's incredible, really.
His first West Ham game since then.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was his first West Ham home game since 2005.
Really?
Oh, no, it was his first West Ham Arsenal game, wasn't it? That's what it was. I knew I got that wrong.
It's a fact with Andy Jacobs, a new feature.
It's completely wrong.
It's half a fact.
It's all wrong.
That would be great. One for all you statistics.
I'll tell you what,
people
I
who like stats, but not that much. Andy Jacobs, it's nearly a fact.
No, don't do that. The game got a goal it deserved. A yeah. really terrible one. And I know they all count, but it was no thanks to Kevin Friend. How many times did he need to see that goal to see that he didn't handball it?
Yeah, yeah.
You can see clearly headed it in. I mean, what are you looking at? Mm. And if you can't, if you need to take that long, just give it a goal, really, honestly. I thought it was poor. They shouldn't be taking that long, I don't think. You see the photos of Kanye West today in the papers?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Painted silver and wearing a silver outfit. And
for a bloke with so much money, I mean, looking at the quite low production values, aren't they? It looks like they're putting on like a local church hall panto or something.
He painted himself silver and wore a baggy metallic outfit to match his new production of an opera called Mary. But it wasn't actually what it really was, because I know Kanye quite well.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
actually his tribute to ex-Port Vale star Martin Foyle.
Is that what it is? It called Foyle? Exclamation mark.
Yeah.
It's big in Burslem.
The whole thing, yeah.
It was on in Burslem for about 3 months.
And I'm intrigued by what name Russia could play as under at the 2022 World Cup.
Yeah.
Because they can't be Russia. Because they
Should we try and get the listeners to come up with a name?
I quite like Atletico Putin. I think that's got quite a ring to it.
Yeah.
Or Neil Lenin's All-Stars.
Okay, go on then. So if Russia are going to go to the World Cup, what should they be called? If you've got any suggestions, talksport.com, text 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ.
And I was reading the preview for tonight's big game at Stamford Bridge. It is a big game, this, for Chelsea.
Mm.
And honestly, it was a brilliant preview. Here it is. Where is it? It says here, Chelsea have lost three of their last four Premier League games, and have not won a home Champions League tie in more than 2 years. Well, it's a bit harsh. We weren't even in it last year.
You could say, well, it's true, though.
You could
isn't
say
it?
They've only lost one in 2 years. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They've basically played two games in the last 2 years, one of which they should have.
It's not wrong, though, is it, as a fact? Unlike the one you gave us earlier on, well, that Mike Dean.
Yeah, Mike Dean, that's not right. That is wrong, actually. Still, what can you do?
Mm. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, you're quite keen. We were just chatting earlier on, looking at Carl's book, his work with the Wolves goalkeeping coach, Pat Mountain.
Yeah, now
Pat,
at Bristol
former
City, I think.
Welsh,
yes.
Former professional footballer, now at Bristol City. And you thought if the goalkeeping coaching, if he decides to diversify, you see a future in TV
for
Pat Mountain.
Well, I had a
not the interim UKIP leader, of course. We mean the goalkeeping coach.
Yeah. Well, for me, there's only one Pat Mountain.
Well, that's the song you often sing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what you've got some TV
formats?
Well,
I've got two for me. Climb Every Mountain. That's where you go around piggybacking all his, give me a piggyback ride to all his family.
That's not much of a format, is it?
I think this one could be worth it. Mountain Dew. Pat and I examine my East End roots.
That's or else you could spell it different. Mountain Dew would be the idea where he goes around, he's a debt collector. What about Go Tell It to the Mountain, a kind of confessional type show?
Yeah, that would work.
Go on then, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
I shocked you with that one, didn't I?
Well, you did a little bit, yeah. Wasn't quite ready for that. So, we're going to turn now to American sports, but a Brit who decided to go on an epic quest in the world of American football. Spent £20,000 and set a new world record by watching a match in all 31 NFL stadiums in just 84 days. Jacob Barner joins us. Good afternoon, Jacob.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, what a fantastic thing to do. I mean, where did the idea first come from?
I think I came up with it about a year ago. There is a load of stadiums I've always wanted to go see, and the list was starting to get quite long as I learned more and more about them. And I went over last year just for one game, and I was kind of blown away by the spectacle of it. And I'd been to the games over here at London, at the Wembley and that, but it was just completely different. And I started looking it up to see if somebody had been to them all, because I thought it'd be something cool to do over my lifetime, you know, maybe go to a couple each year. Mm. And then I came across the article about the girl who did it in 2015, and she broke the world record. And once I saw that, that was kind of where the idea came from, and it was planted the seed in my mind, if you like.
What was the previous? You did 84 days to go to all the stadiums. So what was the previous record then?
So the previous record was 86 days, 10 hours and 25 minutes. And I was exactly 84 days, 3 hours and 24 minutes.
Logistically, how did you arrange all this? Because presumably, you know, it's not that easy to get tickets for these games, is it?
No, so I spent a long time planning, a lot of ticket exchange websites, Ticketmaster, StubHub, those kind of places, and deciding kind of where to go when. I had to be wherever the Thursday game was and wherever the Monday game was, because they're the only games on that day. So that kind of set 20-odd games straight away where I knew where I had to be. Mm. And then it was about picking the other games that kind of meant I wasn't crisscrossing across the country, because obviously the States is such a big country that you don't want to be going, you know, one end to the other. It's like a six-hour flight.
So what was the longest flight you took on between stadiums?
I think about 6 hours. One time I went San Francisco to Boston overnight, and that was about 6 hours.
Right.
There was a couple other times where I had one that was supposed to be like a four-hour flight, but it ended up being changed from a direct to a connecting flight. So it went from 4 hours to, and then was delayed. So it ended up being like an 11-hour journey instead.
Did you ever nearly miss a game? Did you? Was it like just rocking up just as it started?
So I had some close calls. So for the world record, I had to video the first play and the last play to kind of show that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple close calls. One was in San Francisco, where I were kind of left the tailgate a little bit too late, and I could see the countdown on the big screen, and I was in the queue to get into the stadium, and the countdown was on like 8 minutes, and I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to make it. And we were right at the top of the stadium, so we get in, and we're basically running up these ramps to try and get up to the stadium. There was five of us, and at each level, someone else just sacked it off and just started walking instead. I didn't have that option.
Oh no!
I had to keep going. And I think I got to the top and could see the field, and I got my phone out just as they kicked it. It was very close, but thankfully I just about got it.
When you say we, did you have a travelling companion, or was it solo, but you just picked up some mates along the way?
Yeah, so it was solo, but I had a number of friends who came out for like a week or so. So they would come out for a week, do a couple of games, and then go home. And then I had other friends do the same, to the point where I think I was maybe on my own for half of it, and maybe had people for as much as half of it. Maybe a bit less I had people for.
Hmm.
But yeah, my dad came out for a couple of games. Even my mum came out for two games. I don't think she understood what was going on, but she had a good time.
And you have to have a GPS tracker as well, don't you? So you have to let them know exactly the Guinness Book of Records where you've gone and how you've done it.
Yes, that's right, yeah. So they knew, you know, exactly where I kind of said I was. And I also had a form, a Guinness World Record form, that needed to be signed at each game by someone who works for the team to kind of verify I was there. And also, so if they don't believe me for whatever reason, they can kind of contact them and verify.
Now, you must have done Lambeau Field for Green Bay, but they also did play at Milwaukee County Stadium. That would have been quite tricky for you to have to take that one in as well.
Yeah, funnily enough, I did stay in Milwaukee when I went to Green Bay. Funnily enough, it's like 2 hours south. But no, I just did Lambeau. Yeah, I think the specific record is watching all the teams in their home stadiums. So Lambeau County, it's an incredible stadium. It's got such history, and it's right in the middle of this neighborhood. So you're just walking around like a normal neighborhood, and then across the street's this huge 80,000 seater stadium.
So it sounds a bit like the new Spurs stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the best and worst then, would you say? Best stadium and worst stadium you came across in the NFL?
I would say Atlanta, the new one in Atlanta, the final one. That was probably the best stadium. I walked in and you can tell that it's like a $1.6 billion stadium, the amount of money they've put into it, all the facilities. But also it's been built with kind of the fans in mind. So it was the only stadium where the food and drink was like really reasonably priced. You can get a beer for like $5 compared to like $15 in LA.
Mm.
So that was really good. They have all local food places, and they're not allowed to charge more than they do on the street than
That's
they
very
do
good.
In the stadium. Yeah, so that was really good. The worst, probably FedEx Field in Washington. It's big, but it's quite old, and it was half empty. I mean, they've had such a poor season, and the fans aren't really buying in with the owners right now. So it was hard, because obviously there wasn't much atmosphere, because there was no one there really.
$1.6 billion, where you only play 8 home games a season.
I know.
It's unbelievable how they can make this work financially. Do the Giants and Jets still play in the same stadium?
They do, but so, I did go twice.
Oh, you went twice.
I did go twice.
Very orthodox.
I didn't want to cheat. Yeah, so they do play in the same stadium, but it's weird. It looks like because they do it completely differently because they're different colours, that kind of thing. So a different feel to it each time, which was a bit strange.
So 20 grand well spent. What did you earmark that money for in the first place, Jacob?
So I'd saved it originally for a deposit for a house. I'd always said kind of once I hit around that number, that would be my house deposit. And I kind of hit that number around the same time I had this idea. And I kind of had a situation on my hands where it was, I can kind of do maybe the more sensible thing, or I can go do this ridiculous experience. And I just kind of thought, what do I want to look back on and think, you know, which I did. And I think I made the right choice.
Good. Brilliant. Stuff.
Well
and,
done.
And so when were you know definitively that you're in the Guinness Book of Records? Have they said yes or what you want?
Yeah, it's all been approved, all been verified. So it's now official. Yeah, officially Guinness World Record holder now. Yeah.
And do you think it's beatable, your record, if someone could logistically work out? Do you think anybody could shave some time off of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's beatable. It all comes down to the schedule.
Yeah.
So how quickly you can do it essentially depends on these Thursday and Monday nights where there's only one game. It's how often those are repeated. So, for example, week two Monday night, the Jets were at home. And then week six Monday night, the Jets were at home. So that's a day where you can't go to a new stadium.
Right.
So if they were all unique, I believe you could do it in 74, but it's unlikely because they tend to repeat teams like that are in big markets like New York or teams that are good. They tend to be on these kind of prime time games more often. So it is doable. I'm hoping I keep it for a couple of years at least before somebody beats it.
But okay.
If they do, fair play to them.
Throwing down the gauntlet.
And is it true, finally, that the NFL have given you a Super Bowl ticket?
They have.
Oh,
yes,
that's nice.
They have given me Super Bowl tickets. That was insane. Yeah, I got given them at the final game in Atlanta on the sideline by the Falcons CEO. So they're from both the Falcons and NFL UK. So that was incredible. I wasn't expecting that at all. So
brilliant.
It was a great surprise.
So you've got
enough money to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going back. Yeah, somehow.
Nice one. Well done, Jacob. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jacob Barner there from up in Leeds.
That's a very British eccentric. A completely mad thing to do, really, considering you could have put a deposit on his house.
Yeah,
but
it's fairly bonkers. But there we are. Pat Mountain, the Bristol City goalkeeping coach, and he wants some TV formats for him. Pat recreates iconic scenes from the 80s classic boxing movie in Rocky Mountain, says Mark Fillmore. Bristol City goalkeeping coach Pat takes the reins at one of the biggest goat farms in Wales, says Ben, the Spurs fan from Fareham, in Mountain Goat.
Mountain Goat, yeah.
Would you watch these shows, though, boys? This is you have to ask yourself. It's not enough to come
in. Would
you sit and watch that?
Yeah. Yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You should beat Lille tonight, though.
Well, look, put it this way. If they don't beat Lille, they don't deserve to go through, do they? They're the bottom of the group. They've only got 1 point. And that you have to win at least one of your home games to have a chance to go through. So, you know, I'm optimistic, but, you know, they'll get what they deserve. If they play well, they'll win the game.
You've got a bit of the old corporate experience tonight, I understand.
Yes, you're very nice. Yes, thanks to one of my friends at Chelsea. Yeah, it was good because I forgot to get my tickets, which is a bit stupid, really.
You missed the deadline.
So he had kindly offered in the past, so I took him up on it.
You might see Mick the chef who looks after the moose.
Well, I think Moose will be. He's already texted him and said, "Well, I don't know if it's we in the same area as the moose."
I wouldn't think so.
I'm just going to stare at him.
With a lot of plastic sheeting around him.
I'm just going to film it.
They just let him get on with it. Yeah.
That's his own room.
Yeah.
Now, The Times published sort of some of the new fitness apps and things that you can get online at the moment, I suppose, with Christmas coming up. And apparently, Apple have added the noise app to its Series 5 watch to alert you if somewhere is too noisy. I mean, really, use your ears. Seriously. Who needs that? Nobody needs that, do they?
So this is the noise app?
Yeah, so you walk into a place, like, for example, tomorrow night when we go to the TalkSport party and it's going to be the usual volume that no one can actually speak to anybody.
Well, you're a man of a certain age, Andy.
Feel free to dance. No, it's nothing to do with it because I always go around thinking, is this me somewhere? And I go around interviewing all the younger people in the company and say, is this annoying to you too that we can't... Or more like, is this annoying that you can't really speak to me and I can't speak to you?
Such an old man thing to do, to go around to people and say, are you annoyed? Is this loud? I said, is it loud for you?
At a certain point, if I was in charge of the party...
Yeah, but you won't be, Andy.
No, but if I was, what would happen
is
the early part, there'd be a guy playing the piano in a corner as we
moved
in.
Yeah, but it would be, because it's 1957 where you live.
Then there'd be some nice background music, and then up to about half
magician,
eight.
We'd like to see a magician.
Yes,
come
that'd
on.
Be nice, around the tables, a bit of table managing. And then up to about, and then about 9 o'clock, then whack up the music, all those who want to dance, dance, and all the old people like myself can go home.
Okay.
That's perfect. That's what I'd do.
Okay, well, look, you know, it's sadly not been tailored for you, Andy, so you're just going to have to go with the flow. Stand outside with the smokers and have a chat with them, can't you?
I'm not as bad as this bloke, though.
Oh, talking of which, do you see this story? This is a bit of a shocker. From you got a bit of a squeaky chair today, Andy.
I have, actually,
look at,
yeah.
That's not good. Go back again. Listen at the boys. Not great in a studio, is it? Like it's the actually, Mari Celeste.
No, it's actually Sockley Park. I've just sat on him.
I think you probably have.
Oh, sorry, Sockley.
Playing Sheffield Shield cricket in the Sydney Cricket Ground because of all the forest fires that have been going on. Some of the players said it was like playing while you were smoking 80 cigarettes. Steve O'Keefe,
well,
the Aussie
spin. Appealed against the light, but also against the,
yeah,
the
it's like
they
a terrible smog over the stadium.
Be playing in
they really
right.
shouldn't have been playing there. No, it's a shocking picture.
That
anyway,
is poor. The NS Sherlock Institute, our favourite august body, have come up with their latest findings. Darts has been deemed to be the booziest sport for fans. No, really?
Yeah.
It's fantastic, isn't
so
it?
So going to watch the darts. You drink more when you go and watch the darts.
Well, you would do, isn't it? It's a pub-based game. It's, yeah. it's more likely, isn't it, really, I would have thought.
Mm. Go on. I was going to say more bad news for Bournemouth on a serious note. You see David Brooks, hoping to get him back at some stage, but he's had another op.
Oh, God, I forgot about him.
He's not going to be back till March, they say.
It's very harsh. I don't know, you know, it seemed you get one or two injuries or four or five, but to have 11 players out.
It's tough. I mean, you know, where they are, it's going to be pretty tough, I think, for Bournemouth this year. You know, they always seem to find a way to get out of it.
They'll get 3 points on Saturday, don't worry about that. They're playing the run-enders. They'll
right.
be fine.
Anything else?
Yes, this bloke... Honestly, we'll talk about Christmas spirit. This bloke wrote to the Daily Star this morning about Cliff Richard. Mm. He said, not only should mistletoe and wine be banned, but he had no right to put the Lord's Prayer to the tune of Auld Lang Syne. He's rubbish. Really?
Oh, Cliff, he's had quite the career. What about that fellow who's written to the Star? What's he got to back it up
Absolutely
with?
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Yes, anything else?
Oh, well, I don't know,
well,
really.
You've got time, Andy. Look, I think
well,
you've
got time.
You've got some real gold there. I'm sure you have if you dig, if you mine deep enough.
What else have we got? That's right. The bloke who the kid who discovered the world's largest hula hoop. Did you see it came in a packet?
No, I didn't. That story passed me by for some reason.
It's an amazing,
I'm obviously reading the wrong papers.
You can see what happened. They're just the machine that normally cuts the hula hoops into a certain degree or shape, as you might like to say, just didn't work. So he just got this one very very long,
sort of a mutant, mutant hula hoop.
And he said he was going to keep it in a box, which I thought was quite,
keep it in a packet, surely, wouldn't you?
Well, I thought so, but, I mean, I suppose he's going to take it around to the Guinness Book of Records and they're going to go, well, I don't think this really counts, does it, as a record? But they might. He might make it in there.
They might. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
So that was the best of what you had there, was it? That was the gold.
He's so horrible. That was, honestly, I don't get this with Max. When I work with Max, he's sort of respectful.
Is he?
Oh, yeah, of course he is. He's very respectful.
Blimey.
I know.
That'll be diminishing returns, though.
Well,
the more he works
the whole
with
of
you.
Our partnership is diminishing returns, me and Max. That's not the point.
I love the fact he's respectful. What's that like for you?
It's actually quite,
quite
pleasant.
I think that,
quite like
that give you a little bit too much confidence. And if there's no one here, to say you absolutely killed that story about the giant hula, then you're going to keep doing them, aren't you? You're going to keep doing these kinds of stories.
I did see
that
Rylan is hosting.
Oh yeah, Rylan, yeah,
hosting a new series of Ready Steady Cook. I was thinking, is there some new law that's been passed that says the only person allowed to present a TV show is Rylan?
Oh yeah, that has been.
I missed that one completely.
You're not seeing that, yeah. I think it was enshrined in law about 6 months ago.
Of course it was.
Yeah. I mean, certain programmes, he's not been doing Newsnight, has he? I mean,
no.
He does. He's been doing. I saw him on Supermarket Sweep by accident the other day.
That would quite suit him, I would have
It was
thought.
Rather good, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, certain things that I think kind of suit his talent.
He is on a lot, though. Yeah.
Well, he is. He is.
Yeah. There you go.
So are you. And
that's true.
Anyway, we'll leave it there. Really. And
I had the T20 birthday spread for you.
Oh, should we do that? There's Pele here. Okay, can you find it?
Yes,
now?
I found it. Here it is.
Good. All right, fair enough. Here it is.
I can't do it without Pele.
Oh, Pele, he'll be up in a minute. Give Becky a chance. You've just pulled that one out of nowhere. Expect it to find Pelé at a moment's notice. He's a busy man.
It's very true.
Right, okay.
Well, it's so very happy birthday.
I have to guess the age of this person. You're going to give me so many years either way.
Can't be anybody that doesn't know this, is it?
What? How many years? How many years have I got to work with?
You've got. I think you'll know this, so I'm going to give you a very measly 5 years.
So I've got to be within five on this person's age. Have a go at home, everybody.
It's a very, very happy birthday to Lord Dubs, Alf Dubs, the Labour MP from 79 to 87.
Yeah, 79 to 87.
Have you heard his new album?
No.
It's the Dubs mix. I've got it.
Sure, it's really very good, Jay. Yeah, it's good. 84.
He is 88, so you're within one.
Within one, there we are.
It's also our old friend Paul Hardcastle's birthday today. How old do you think he is?
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Because he's definitely older than that, isn't he now? He's definitely older. What are you going to say?
19.
Do people say they must say, oh, 19 again, Paul? If I had a pound for everybody who'd said that.
I bet they do.
I'd have 12.
Well, happy birthday, Paul, if you're listening.
Yeah, good afternoon,
you often
Paul.
Do.
And very happy birthday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Andy, in your many years of going to football...
Many years.
Have you witnessed a goalkeeper score a goal?
Have you? Not live. I've obviously
really?
Seen it on telly. I remember, of course, going way back, Pat Jennings.
Yeah, against Alex Stepney, Charity Shield.
Paul Robinson did it, didn't he?
That was the game I was at.
Yeah.
I saw Paul Robinson score against Watford.
It doesn't happen very often, though.
It doesn't, no. Yeah, which is why we mark it now. Brecon City keeper Lewis McMinn scored a 90-yarder.
Tremendous.
At the weekend.
And not wind assisted, the producer was telling me.
No, that's true.
It's incredible.
He joins us now. Good afternoon, Lewis.
Good afternoon, guys. How
you doing? Yeah, good, thank you. I mean, was that your first goal? Maybe we'll never know.
Well, that was a bit of a Vicente Lizarazu, wasn't it?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, we're trying again. John. Are you there, Lewis?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Oh, we can now. Yeah, we lost you. I'm just saying, was that your first goal?
Yeah, that was my first ever goal, first senior goal.
talk us through it. I mean, it's on social media, and people can go and check it out.
A goalkeeper doesn't often get a chance to talk through a goal.
Yeah, so. That's right. Yeah, it's normally the strikers who do that. So, talk us through it, Lewis.
No, well, to be fair, I actually had a bad kick just before that, and I've actually absolutely blazed out of the park. So, this ball just came back to us, and I've just thought, right, I'm just going to try and get a clean strike and try and find the striker up the field. And I've kicked it in there. To be fair, I just seen it going straight towards the goal, and I thought, oh, brilliant. That just went straight in his hands, and they're going to counter attack on us. but then it suddenly just turned a big bounce.
Yeah.
And I ended up rolling in the net, and then, to be fair, I've just stood for 5-10 seconds in disbelief.
Got a lovely bounce. It
did get
kicked, didn't it? It hit the ground and then kicked over him. He was a bit unlucky, the keeper.
It was very similar to the one that I saw Robbo score against Watford, in that the goalkeeper thinks the defender's going to deal with it. The defender's leaving it for the keeper. And it goes, it sort of bounces in that no man's land, and there's nothing either of them can do about it.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, the surface on Saturday was absolutely soaking. So, as you can see in the video, it does skim. And obviously, fortunately enough for us, it goes over the goalie's head and in the net.
Yeah. I love the way the lads come and mob you. They basically dive on top of you. It's fantastic.
I know, I was actually a bit gutted because the cameraman misses my celebration. I gave it to old Alan Shearer.
Yeah,
what a shame.
Yeah, they just cut back to you, the lads piling on you.
So what did the Stirling Albion keeper say to you after the game?
Oh, I've not spoken to him.
Oh, really? You didn't have a chat with him?
No, I've not spoken to him, no. I think, to be fair, if that was me, I just wanted to get inside as well, so...
Have you ever conceded one like that?
I've never conceded one like that, no. And hopefully I won't.
Yeah,
good.
It was a big goal for you, wasn't it? Because you're struggling a bit as a team at the moment, bottom of League Two up in Scotland, and needed a win.
No, definitely. It was a massive result for us. Because to be fair, previous weeks we've been playing well, just not been getting the results that we needed, and obviously being at the bottom of the table, it's not exactly the best atmosphere coming in every week and coming on the back of a defeat. So, the weekend result was massive for us, and hopefully it can kick on now from that.
Yeah. Now, Stirling Albion keepers do not tend generally to get much notoriety down this way. But there was, I was reminded of a moment of a predecessor of yours who had a little bit of a moment of fame on Soccer Saturday with Jeff Stelling and the boys. We could take you back to 2015.
There's a great story coming out of Scotland at the moment. Though Graham Smith, the Brechin City goalkeeper, may not feel it so funny because he turned up for today's game against Stenhousemuir at Stenhousemuir's Ockleview ground, only to realise he was 83 miles away from where he should be because it's a home game and he was meant to be at Brechin.
It is funny, poor
did you Graham. Did you know Graham, or do you know Graham, Lewis?
Yeah, I know Graham. I'm good friends with Graham. I spent the last two years of it. And to be fair, that was one of the first things I spoke to him about.
Does he take it well when he's reminded of it?
He does take it well now. He's like, he does say, "I'm always the goalie that's reminded by the person who went to the wrong stadium."
So it's a pretty good chance come the end of season awards, his number's going to better, you could get goal of the season.
That's what a few people have said to me. I was like, I'd like to think so.
I'd like FIFA goal of the year. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, that would be good. It tends not to be a goalkeeper's goal, but that would make a change, wouldn't it? You'll be sitting there next
Lionel
to Messi,
Ronaldo,
Lewis
McMinn.
What has been your story then, Lewis? How long have you been at Brechin?
This is my first season at Brechin.
Right.
This is my first season. Before then, I was at Stenhousemuir, as I said.
Yeah.
And then I was at Falkirk and Rangers prior to that.
Oh, wow, okay.
So that was my first few teams.
Who do you support? You got a team you follow?
I'm actually a Celtic supporter.
Oh, I bet you played at Rangers. But
you must have been impressed with Fraser Forster on Sunday. He played brilliantly, didn't he?
Oh, unbelievable. Great. Oh, he was first class.
Yeah, no, it was. That was a proper smash and grab because Rangers were very good, weren't they, on the day?
Well, they had their chances, but if you don't take your chances, you don't win the game. So,
as Ali McCoy said to Alan this morning, only about five of them were offside on that goal.
It's true. Yeah, would you like a bit of VAR down in League Two in Scotland?
Why not? It's livening up the games a bit.
Yeah. Well, well done. Congratulations on the goal. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Not a problem. Thank you.
There we are. Lewis McMinn there, the Brechin City keeper. Go and check out his goal. As I said, it was a bit of a skimming stone, wasn't it?
Yeah. Nice strike.
If you were a Stirling Albion keeper, you'd come up and you'd say well done. Begrudgingly, wouldn't you say well done?
I don't know, you might.
Maybe you wouldn't. Wouldn't. I know you wouldn't.
Well,
anyway.
No.
You'd be shouting,
saying,
"Hope you go down."
Of course.
Yeah. So, Andy, in the meantime, do you have anything else for us from your extended list of comedy bits?
Give me a good build-up there. Do you want to see a picture of cows wearing Christmas jumpers?
Well, it's not great radio, but I'll have a look.
There you go.
Look. Yeah. Let's have a look.
In the paper today, in the Daily Star.
Yeah, I can confirm that is a cow wearing a Christmas jumper.
Apparently. Oh, no, it was in the Times.
Okay.
It says... Cows on Jersey are getting into the Christmas spirit by wearing Christmas jumpers. Which is a bit odd, really.
Have they been knitted especially for them? I mean, if you're an incredibly misshapen person that fits a cow, you'd have a problem.
You put the udder.
Yeah, that's a very good question, I would say. You like a sporting measurement, don't you, Andy?
I do.
Do you want a sporting measurement story? This is good. This comes from courtesy of Warburton's, who've done a bit of a poll. We throw away enough gravy on Christmas Day to fill what?
A swimming pool. Olympic swimming pool.
Olympic swimming pool, of course. It can't just be a swimming pool. It has to be an Olympic swimming
actually,
pool.
Actually, that's what the whole country throws away, that amount of gravy. I mean, blimey, I'm quite a deep end on myself. I always throw away a lot of gravy.
Really? Not personally enough for an Olympic swimming pool.
You tend to make more than you need for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Gluttony.
So no, not really. Just in not calculating it properly.
So there we are. Beautiful sporting measurement.
Thank you. Do you want some more?
Oh, go on, quick one.
Yeah, quick one. This ad popped up on my Instagram, and this was the proud claim. Shirts designed to be worn untucked. Yeah, in other words, a shirt, that's any shirt.
Yeah, that's not been tucked in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that was a great selling point for the shirt.
Fishing news, Andy. Can I bring you fishing news? Do you know we've talked about this before? Angling Direct, the sort of business that sells.
They're doing very well.
They are. They recorded record sales during Black Friday weekend. Fishing tackle and equipment retailer saw total sales during that period rise to 1.86 million, 1.3%, profits jumping, which would suggest, as Nigel Botherway always says on Fisherman's Blues on TalkSport 2, more people are fishing. And the obvious...
No, that's not what he says. He always says, we've got to get more people fishing.
Well, I mean, clearly it's working. It's working. But the thing is, it must be about Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse, this spike in people suddenly wanting to go back to fishing.
Yes, that's a good point.
It's a simple pleasure. They look at that. They look at the camaraderie and the fun that can be had. And a lot of people that may haven't fished for years think, you know what, I should go back to that. It was a lot of fun.
They make it look so appealing.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you realise that Paul is very skillful. You know, he really knows what he's doing. So he has to help Bob quite a lot. It's obviously much more difficult fishing than you'd imagine.
It is. But anyway, look, people are coming back to it, which has got to be good news. Mm. Fisherman's Blues then, 6 a.m. every Sunday on TalkSport 2, now 2 hours long.
Yes, I know.
I know you do. It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.
We all do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Thank you very much for listening, as always. We return tomorrow. Villa legend Gordon Cowans is in the studio chatting about a new book about the Villa. And so we'll catch up with you then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.